We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show.
Bring it in on three. One, two, three.
It's Friday night. Time for an in-depth and unique spotlight on a member of your green and gold.
Ready?
Now, live from the Leaps and Bounds Cafe at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening and welcome. It is Lodge Kohler Kickoff. My name is Bill Michaels. We are glad to be here, broadcasting live from Lodge Kohler here in Green Bay, across the street from Lambeau Field. Going to talk with a former Green Bay Packer, George Kuntz, coming up tonight. We are brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, Under Warmer, Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, the Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management. Gianni, our guy up here at Lodge Kohler, brings us our fireside chat wine today. And this one's, I was kind of waiting for this. I knew this would pop up at some point in the season, and I'm glad it popped up now. So you brought a good one. I'll let you explain it, but I was happy when I saw the bottles when I walked in today.
So thank you for being here. And today we have another of our caps. This Cabernet Sauvignon is actually from Tavern in the Sky. Here at Leaps and Bounds, our system is a draft system, but we have By the Borders upstairs. It's one of the wines that we proudly serve. Representing former Packer players. In this case, it's going to be a Cabernet Sauvignon from Calistoga, Napa Valley, 24th, what is Charles Wilson wines. Great beer pairing with our good fire steaks in Tower in the Sky, for sure. I will love you to taste it and enjoy it.
There you go. Cheers to hopefully another Packers win here at Lambeau Field coming up on Sunday. Gianni, anything else going on? You're kind of busy, huh?
We are busy.
Yeah. No rooms right now. You guys are completely sold out.
We are 100% sold out, yeah.
So if anybody's showing up, sorry about your luck, but come in and enjoy some dinner and wine as well,
right? The restaurant
is
open every day of the year and open to the public, so we are always welcoming new guests.
Fantastic. There you go. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you all for being here, and go Packers.
And go Packers and enjoy yourself. And the Packers get a win 23-22. They knock off the Detroit Lions this past weekend. Now on the docket, you've got the Oakland Raiders getting ready to come to town. Oakland, not a bad team when you look at where Oakland was to where they are. They're coming off of a big win traveling over to London in which they beat the Chicago Bears. Oakland right now sitting at 3-2 on the season. And the Bears, if you just want to run down to the division right now for the Packers, 5-1. The Packers are atop the division. Minnesota sitting at 4-2. Chicago, those Bears with a couple of losses on the docket, one being the Green Bay Packers, another one being the Oakland Raiders, and obviously the Lions sitting at 2-2-1 after the Monday night loss here at Lambeau Field and still complaining about the officiating, which has been more the topic than it has been the fact that the Packers are sitting at 5-1. Big loss last night because the Kansas City Chiefs, while they won the game, they lost their quarterback to a patellar injury. You've got Patrick Mahomes going down. Kansas City 5-2 on top of that division where Oakland is still chasing them. And joining us up here now is George Kuntz, former Green Bay Packer, hanging out with us. How you been, man?
I'm doing good. Thank
good,
you for having me.
Good to see you. Absolutely. Nice. My pleasure. So how you been?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Working down in Fond du Lac at Marion University.
Okay.
Had a chance to go on the Green Bay Packer Board of Directors back in July. So that's a
– Oh, wow. Okay. Congratulations there. Yeah, absolutely.
Went from the locker room to the boardroom.
To the penthouse.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know about the penthouse.
Give me your assessment of this team right now. I had said, and then let me back up here a second. I had said earlier in the week, right after they beat Detroit, I said, look, if you take the teams that are in the NFC right now, if you take Philadelphia and Dallas, where the Packers are at, even where the Minnesota Vikings are at, look at New Orleans, look at Carolina with four wins in a row, San Francisco and Seattle. Those are some of the top teams. Seattle, they've beaten Cincinnati, they've beaten Arizona. San Francisco, until they beat L.A., the collective record between the teams that they had knocked off was 5-15. New Orleans, good team, but they've got a couple of lackluster wins. Carolina, after Cam Newton went down, they've reeled off four straight, and they're looking to continue that streak. Minnesota, we know, the Packers have already beat them. And Philadelphia beat the Packers, but they lost to Detroit in Philadelphia, and they've got three losses on the season. I said, therefore, if you go by process of elimination and strength of schedule, The Packers right now are the best team in the NFC. Could you make the argument for that?
I think so. Not only for the Packers, I think we can make the assumption that the division, the NFC North, may be the best division in the NFC as a whole. I think we have. I don't think we have any teams in the division that is losing.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, whoever comes out of that division has a chance to go deep into the playoffs. It'd be great for because if the season ended today, would be in the playoffs.
I look at it this way. The best division right now in all of football. I mean, you've got even – you look at where New England is. New England's 6-0, but they've got the Dolphins they beat up on. The Dolphins are 0-5, and the Jets are 1-4. You got a team, two teams right there that are collective 1-9. Same with Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, four wins between them, eight losses. You add Cincinnati's 0-6 record to that. You're talking about a collective 4-14. Yeah, this is the best division in football,
and that's,
without a doubt.
Right. And a lot of people said at the beginning of the year, playing against the Chicago Bears, they was a 12-4 the year before in the playoffs. We went into Soldier's Field. It wasn't perfect, but we beat them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people said coming back to Green Bay, we have a tough team coming in, and in Minnesota, we're able to beat them.
Yeah.
So we've played some great teams. A lot of talent on the ball club in Dallas. We was able to go on the road and beat Dallas. So I think we're in the mix. I think we have a chance to really break out over the next 2-3 weeks. We can be 7-1, and nobody know what hit them.
Some of the things about the NFL is timing, is when you play a team as well. Now, I don't know how long he's going to be gone. We saw Patrick Mahomes go down last night in that game against Denver. Now, obviously, they're not the same team without Patrick Mahomes. But if he's out a couple of weeks, the Packers could get him next the week after Sunday and get to the Kansas City Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes. Sometimes it's just the timing of when you play the game, isn't it?
Exactly, because you look at the Green Bay Packers. We are not the same team if Aaron Rodgers is not
correct.
The starting quarterback.
Yeah, we've seen that in the past. Right,
we've seen that, unfortunately. But for a team like Kansas City, without having the reigning MVP behind center, that's a huge, huge loss. And I think he was on pace to maybe win it again. But to our credit, it's all about timing, like you said. If we go in there and he's not playing, we have a chance to really come away with the win. I know that's really putting the cart before the horse. We have to take care of business on Sunday against a really tough Oakland Raiders team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will handle business, but it just puts us in a great place to really stack up some chips going into the end of the year.
I wanted to talk about the Raiders for just a second. I go back to watching them in Hard Knocks and everything that went on with Antonio Brown and that whole situation. And I got to admit, in the beginning of Monday Night Football, I loved John Gruden. And by the end of Monday Night Football, he was kind of caricature because we all know he didn't want to criticize anybody because he wanted to get back into coaching. But the way he's handled that and the fact that the team has really not missed a beat and they've played extremely well, the defense has gotten better as the season has gone on. What does it say, do you think, about, one, the organization, and two, more so, maybe John Gruden?
Well, I think it says that the Oakland Raiders is not the same Raiders because they persevered some really tough stuff off the field with Antonio Brown. You look at Burfict.
Mm-hmm.
He had that situation being thrown out for the year with a shot to the head. But they've handled it first class. I'm really excited for John Gruden. I'm just glad he's in the AFC, not in the NFC. He kind of cut his teeth with the regime that was here back in the 90s with Coach Holmgren. I think John Gruden's father was a scout for the 49ers. He used to pick up towels in the locker room for the 49ers. Then he came over to the Green Bay Packers, and that's where he got his traction, and I think he's a heck of a football coach.
What kind of problems do you think Oakland presents for the Packers? They're not unbelievably dynamic offensively. They're a good defense, but not a great defense. The Packers have faced three of the top defenses already. I mean, they faced a very solid Bears defense, a very solid Vikings defense. They played a pretty good defense coming out of Dallas. I mean, you look at some of the teams they faced already, they've already faced good defenses, so it's not like they can't beat a good defense.
Right.
So what do you think Oakland presents, or is it just you can't turn the ball over and keep winning like that?
Right. I think the Oakland Raiders presents a very, very balanced team because too often in the National Football League, you have a team that's just one-dimensional. And if a team comes in one-dimensional and you take that away from them, they're going to get beat. But I think the Raiders are very, very balanced. And one thing that that is their strength and it's our weakness is that they're able to run the ball. And they're able to run the ball very effectively. So we have to be able to stop the run.
The fact that the Packers defensively, now granted they pulled them out of their game, but the Cowboys got away from Zeke Elliott early on in that ball game because it's down so early. But I thought they could have ran the ball a little bit more, and they chose not to. So in essence, they shut down Zeke Elliott, and this past week they really kind of shut down the run game as well. Do you see this team getting better defensively?
I think the team is getting better defensively. I think the Packers' offense, I think, is we're still trying to work. Because we had over 30-some guys that didn't really play in the preseason. And we know that practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm. And so those guys are a little bit behind schedule, so to speak. So I think as time goes on over the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to see that offense really catch fire because the defense is playing extremely well, extremely well. We are playing championship football on the defensive side of the ball. And the offense is going to catch up because you have to believe they will because they have Aaron Rodgers. And you look at some of the throws he made on Monday night, the touch. Just the guy still has it in his 15th year. He's amazing. And we're so fortunate to have him in the green and gold, to have a quarterback of that magnitude calling plays for the Green Bay Packers.
How long – you've been through different coaches. How long does it take you to really – get it when it's a new philosophy, a new playbook, a new terminology? Because football is football on its face, but then you got to get used to the terminology and used to how a coach wants to call a game and the rhythm of a game. How long does it take you as a player to really kind of start to really feel comfortable and get it?
I think it takes about 8 games.
Does
I think
it?
That's a pretty good sample size to really to tell if the guys are getting it, the coaches are bonding, able to get across what they're trying to do, the game plans with their team. So I think week 8 or game 8 would show a lot of what the Packers are, where we're heading and what we have to do to win a championship.
That Dallas game, the way Matt LaFleur called that game, that was the game that – now, there's been things that Matt LaFleur has done and said along the way that I kind of went, oh, okay. That guy's pretty good. You know, he knows his X's and O's. But the way they called that game, knowing you didn't have, you know, Devontae Adams, and you had to kind of figure out another means to get the ball down the field, the fact that you used the tight ends more, the fact that he used the guys coming, you know, Aaron Jones having a big game, but used the guys pass-wise coming out of the backfield, they morphed. They changed. They tried to attack the weakness of Dallas rather than just saying, we're going to line up, run our offense, and you try to stop us. They did things differently. And not into the comparison of what we've seen in the past, but they just did things differently even to what they did go back to week one. How impressed have you been with Matt LaFleur and the way he's worked his offense?
I think that's called maturity. I think he's done a great job of growing and learning his team. Because you can look at the Eagles, one thing that really hindered us and stopped us from really winning that ball game was being in the red zone. I think was in the red zone 5 times and probably scored a touchdown once. You look at the Detroit Lions when they came here, they complaining about penalties and things of that nature. But when they got in the red zone, they kicked field goals.
Right.
And we saw that's a recipe for disaster against the Eagles. But we were able to correct that. And we saw that in us when we got in the red zone, we didn't get field goals, we got touchdowns. And that's what you have to do when you go on the road. You can't just kick a field goal. You got to come away with 7 points.
Broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler, talking with former Green Bay Packer George Koontz, now part of the Packers board. We'll give you that title there as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Nothing wrong with that. Hey, reminder, the Green Bay Packers Legends Cruise has a great roster with guys this year, like George Koontz, Blake Martinez, Leroy Butler, Doug Evans, Mark Tauscher, just to name a few. So if you want to get a hold of them, go to greenbaylegendscruise.com. That's greenbaylegendscruise.com. And if you want to be a face in the crowd here, you can win some prizes. You can win some autographed items as well. Stop on by and check out the program here at Lodge Kohler. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. We were talking with George Koontz. We're going to be back with more coming up right after this. Welcome back. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, across the street from Lambeau Field. Packed house in here this weekend as the Oakland Raiders are coming to town. We are brought to you by the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management. If you would like to get a Green Bay Packer at your event, they exclusively rep Donald Driver, James Jones, Nick Collins, John Kuhn, and so many more. Call them 414-727-3600 or go to lammysports.com. That's lammysports.com. Sitting here with George Kuntz, former Green Bay Packer, now on the board of the Green Bay Packers, as a matter of fact. So give me a sense of what it's like being on the board now. Let's talk about the business side of things, because the Packers, obviously a team that in the smallest market in all of major sports, and you got to figure out a way to generate revenue. Things continue to grow. The Titletown District is awesome. But talk about what it's like being on the board of directors.
Well, it's very, very strategic conversations that's going on. I've been blessed to have gone to one board meeting. I think back when Reggie White came to the Green Bay Packers in 1993, I think the Packers had $30 million in their preservation fund at that time. Let's fast forward to 2019. I think they have close to $500 million in their preservation fund. And also, too, they have about $400 plus million in their endowment. And we give probably give about 1,700 grants out a year to help different organizations in the community. Mm-hmm. It's just a great opportunity and to start to learn the business side of things, because we know football is just a game, but the football is a big, big business.
Yeah.
When I was coming out of college, it was a multi-million-dollar business. Now it's a multi-billion-dollar business. The NFL is no different. It's multi-billion dollars. I think their TV rights is about $10 billion per year. And the Green Bay Packers, you look at their P&L, their profit and loss sheet, they're in the top 10 in the National Football League, going up against some of the biggest, the largest, the biggest metropolitan cities in the United States. Mm-hmm. And you look at Green Bay, we're a city of just 160-some thousand. But they have outstanding leadership. They reach all 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin, over 6 million people. They all feel like they're part of the family. I know they talk about Dallas being America's team, but really Green Bay with the structure. I'm not going to get into all the Super Bowls and all that. With the structure, the Packers is truly America's team, because you can relate to it. The average person can relate to the Green Bay Packers.
I want to go back to the monetary aspect of this, and I know that people hear $500 million and they go, rich owners, rich companies, But I have never begrudged, because I go back to when Bob Harlan was trying to get this thing passed to build Lambeau Field into what it is today. And I don't even know if his vision had it this big. He wanted the atrium in a 24/7, 365 business, but I remember sitting here that day in the Brown County vote, and I had asked Bob. I said, so what's Plan B? And he said, there isn't a Plan B. It came so close to other as to whether or not it would be here. Now, you guys are the governors of the team to kind of hand it off to generations to come. But when you talk about billions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars that are sitting in the bank that you guys need for operational things, it's a remarkable thing the way that it's grown. People talk about buying up houses in the neighborhoods and it's changed. Yes, but you would never begrudge this team from making money, because this is it. I mean,
this is it. We don't,
you don't have another, it's not like you have a big rich owner that's going to come riding in and say, I've got, $2 billion sitting in the bank of my own money. This
right,
is it.
Right. Like I had the pleasure after my 8 years in Green Bay, I had a chance to go play for the Seattle Seahawks, and Paul Allen was the owner at the time. He's since passed over the last 24 months. So if the Seahawks had some issues, some problems, they had someone, Paul, who could bail them out, because he was like the second or third richest man in the world. The Green Bay Packers do not have that, so they have to be very, very business savvy and be very, very fiscally sound in making decisions, business decisions, because they don't have anyone they can go to, and they don't have a rich uncle they can go to and to get the funds. So
you sit in a very interesting position, because you're on the board. Mark Murphy's the president, a former player. You a former player as well. Yet, as owners and as board members, you're talking about now NFL's proposing the 17-game season. On one hand, there's player safety concerns. On the other hand, it's the monetary aspect of it. What does the 17th game bring? We'll take the positive and the negative. The positive, what does the 17th game bring as far as to the league?
Well, I think that a lot of fans and a lot of players across the National Football League feel as though the preseason is something that is really have outlived its expiration date. And I think they want to try to revamp that. So if they cut down the preseason to two games, they want to add a game during the season, going from 16 games to 17 games. I don't know if that's really going to fly. I think that the players are really going to fight that. But there may be some compromise. I just hope that everything gets worked out by next year's time, because we don't want to see the National Football League go on strike.
Yeah, 2021 is when this thing gets really kind of volatile if it doesn't get done by then.
Because that would be bad business for everyone, the players, the fans, the owners.
So as a former player, you know what it's like. What would you want?
Well, I want to kind of – I'm a traditionalist. I would like to kind of keep it the same. But I just – but I also – I like to get a bump in
– extra pay.
In pay. But also, too, I don't want to be greedy as well. We have to be very, very protective that we don't really change the game too much. And because the fans can't, you know, a family of four going to the games, parking, food, tickets, it's kind of getting to a place where the average family that lives over in Wausau or Stevens Point or Manitowoc, or they're having problems coming to see their favorite team play because it's just out of reach from a financial standpoint. And we have to do some things to make sure we don't let that happen. We can't let corporation buy up all the tickets and give them to their employees or give them to other individuals. We should have it so that the average person who their grandfather or grandmother or uncle or aunt bought tickets in the early 30s, 40s, and 50s and left them and passed them down through generations, through their family, should be able to afford them so they can go and enjoy the Green Bay Packers, because the Packers is truly a fabric of our community.
It's easy sitting where we sit because you've got a 20, 30, 50,000, you know, waiting list to get in for season tickets. But you look at teams like Jacksonville, you look at teams like now, right, like Miami, teams that were traditional, teams that have had success but have fallen on hard times, they don't have that to draw on. So that's kind of where some of this discussion comes in when you talk about the families and being able to afford it. Even in Green Bay, you're sold out for years to come, but you're still trying to keep it relatively affordable for the Jacksonvilles, the Miamis, and all the other, you know, franchises that don't have sellouts each and every week.
Right, and I think the National Football League has an unbelievable business model, because at the start of the season, I think there's 32 teams in the National Football League. I think every team feels as though legitimately that they can win the Super Bowl. And that's what the National Football League wants. They want that parity, because we're the league that if you finish last, you pick first. Mm-hmm. You want to give the guy that's been underdog, give them a chance to be on top. And I think that plays well with our community, because football truly, I don't want to get all philosophical, but it is really truly a mirror of the American society.
Yeah.
Because it could be someone come from nowhere. You know, you can come over from Germany. You can be an immigrant. Look at all the folks in Wisconsin. At some point, they came here for a better life. You know, and one thing about football, you can come onto a roster with little fanfare and get a chance to play like I did. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be Brett Favre, who got drafted in the second round. Things didn't work out in Atlanta. Came to the Green Bay Packers and played 16 years, and his name was up on the facade in the stadium. He did an unbelievable job, not only playing for the Packers, but being an ambassador for the Packers as well.
You talked about everybody's got an opportunity to win. This year, a lot of speculation about a team like Miami, Cincinnati, teams that haven't won yet. Openly tanking is now being thrown around out there. I know the commissioner was asked about it and said we've got, you know, more teams this year, that more parity this year than we've had in a long time. There's not going to be a tinkering with the draft process at this point, but if you hear of teams that you know are openly tanking, do you then have to do what the NBA has done, where we're just going to do the draft lottery and take the top three or five teams and put them into a hopper?
Well, we know that's not good for the sport. If you have teams just going out there intentionally trying to lose, that's right. not good. So
The players aren't,
right.
but the team doesn't stack enough talent to really be competitive. So that's what we're talking about.
Right. Like they start
because every player wants to go out and do everything they can.
Every player wants to do that. They started that when they was in Pop Warner, when they was back in 9 years old. They want to go out there and win and do what they love and enjoy. But if the organization start trading away their assets, trying to get draft picks, trying to look for long term, I don't think that's good for the National Football League. And I think the commissioner or the league, the head office, will step in and make sure you don't have that type of behavior.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're sitting here talking with former Green Bay Packer George Koontz. It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff. We're broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler across the street from Green Bay. Got a lot more coming up. Another half hour yet to go. Stay tuned. More right after this. Welcome back. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. We are broadcasting live here in Green Bay at Lodge Kohler. A reminder, coming up next Friday, safety Adrian Amos is going to be our guest here at Lodge Kohler. So come on by and say hi. We're brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, and Under Warmer as well. If you want to follow us on social media, go to Lodge Kohler Kickoff on Facebook, Lodge Kohler Kickoff on Instagram, and Kohler Kickoff on Twitter. And if you're facing the crowd each and every Friday, they give away some autographed items, so you could come by and win those as well, not to mention some of the fabulous wines that they introduce to us each and every week. Sitting here with the former Green Bay Packer, George Koontz, joining us here, and we were talking more business than we were actual football, but I want to get back to the football sense. We talked a lot about the offense. The defense, Mike Pettine has done an incredible job with. And I know last year I was one that said, man, you got to go out and get Khalil Mack. He's a game changer. They didn't. It was disappointing. He really launched what they did down in Chicago. And then you look at Za'Darius and Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, the way they've spread that money around, Billy Turner coming in and really kind of fortifying that guard position. I know Gutekunst has done a fabulous job, but Mike Pettine has done an amazing job of kind of melding all this together. And you got two leaders now in Za'Darius and Preston. Talk about what it's like to have leadership in a locker room that makes it fun to come to work every day.
Well, let me give an example. Back in the 90s, let's talk about Brett Favre. He was in Green Bay for 16 years. 6 years he was with the Minister of Defense, a guy by the name of Reggie White. During those 6 years, he went to three NFC championships, two Super Bowls back-to-back. He won a Super Bowl. Without Reggie White, a decade without Reggie White, he never returned. Being up close and personal, having a seat in the locker room, I think my theory was a lot of the leadership was shared with Reggie White and Brett Favre. It wasn't all on him because to be the highest paid player in the locker room, one of the highest paid players in the league, to be the face of the franchise, to handle the ball every snap, that can be overwhelming. So it worked out well during those 6 years that Reggie White and Brett Favre was together. But to be able to do it all solely on yourself, because we know Clay Matthews was an outstanding football players for the Packers. But for the leadership part of it, he didn't really want to be out front. Mm-hmm. And Aaron really hasn't had anyone to want to be out front since a guy by the name of Charles Woodson.
Right.
And Za'Darius and Preston Smith, they yearn, they want to be out and help him to lead. So with just that feeling going into the locker room, you could sense there's a different air. There's a different feeling in the locker room. Those guys are having fun. They're looking for. They don't. There's not a team in the National Football League that they legitimately think they cannot beat. And I believe they can. If they're playing, and they're not even clicking on all cylinders yet.
Right.
And once they get to that part of the of their year of their season, they're going to be unstoppable.
We were sitting here reading the injury report, which is a mass unit. It is massive, and you got a lot of guys really banged up right now on this team. You got Devontae Adams, who is not playing in this game. Geronimo Allison, who is doubtful for this game. Tony Brown looks like he might be questionable as well. Same with Kenny Clark, who now has a back issue and a calf issue. I know Darnell Savage Jr. not playing in this game. Robert Tonyan's probably not going to play in this game. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is questionable at best. With all these guys banged up, What is the mentality in a locker room when you start to get a laundry list together, where you just have everybody around you just limping, walking funny in the trainer's room, spending more time there than they are in the practice field? What is that like? What does that do mentally to a team?
Well, it could hurt the morale, but not that team. The team that I've had a chance to be around the last couple of years, and I've seen that paradigm shift with the leadership and the way they approach things. Those guys want to take the attitude is, you know what, the next man up. And they truly believe that. And they're very, very close, and I think they have a lot of depth. I don't think a lot of people give Gutekunst enough credit. Not only did he add some outstanding players on offseason, but he did some things behind the scenes for his drafting, bringing guys in from other teams to give us that depth just in case our starters are not able to go each and every week, because the season is a long season. So you're going to have some injuries. You're going to get nicked up here and there. But for the most part, the Packers have been very good this year. You look at the Dallas Cowboy game. We were able to do that without our best wide receiver, Davante Adams. So we just want to make sure that he comes back. And when he comes back, he is the Davante Adams of the one that we've been accustomed to seeing, because we know that a turf toe is a very nagging and a very tough injury for a wide receiver.
I was going to ask you that. Did you ever have one in your career?
I never.
You played on a ton of AstroTurf.
Right. I did. But I don't think I ran fast enough to get a turf toe. And also, too, I was with a guy that had a bad case of turf toe, and that was Sterling Sharp. I played with Sterling Sharp for 3 years in Green Bay. And I remember we played in Detroit, and Sterling Sharp, prior to the game, he went to see the doctor to get an injection in his toe, and the needle looked like it was about the length of my arm. And I've never been so afraid in my life to hear and to see that whole process play out. I said, I never want to get hurt. I never want to see anybody get a shot or an injection. Because if you're making that type of noise, I don't want that to be coming out of my body.
Right.
I'm not going to say he was yelling, but he was.
Oh, I get it. I completely get it. Hey, I want to ask you about Darius Shepherd. Shepherd did not have a great game. We know Aaron Jones, he's going to bounce back. He's good. But Darius Shepherd, trying to make a name for himself on this team, did not have a great game. Go back to the punt when he reached above his head and got it swatted out, and then the rest is history. Everybody makes mistakes, and you see fans react on Twitter because social media is now instant. But in a case like that, I had said at the time, and I tweeted it out, and I've said it before and saying it again, 99% of me says he'll never make that mistake again. That was one of those mistakes. You've probably been there, done that, where you do something, you went, I'll never do that again. No matter what the situation, that will never happen again, right?
Right, and that's one thing we talked about earlier, how much football is is a microcosm of life. You do things and you make mistakes and you will not repeat that. And that's called maturity. You best believe he will not make that mistake again.
The tight end position has been rather interesting because Jimmy Graham is not the Jimmy Graham of old, but he's still serviceable. I think more so inside the 20, maybe inside the red zone. Mercedes Lewis, we saw him in Jacksonville against the Packers be a catch machine and a guy that moved the sticks, and we're starting to see that a little bit more. I've liked the involvement, including Robert Tonyan and such, of what Matt LaFleur has brought. It's not just about guys running their routes and getting open. I like the fact that he's really told Aaron, we'll spread it around. We're going to go to a tight end, and we're going to go to back out of the backfield, and then we're going to run the ball. We're going to do play action. But it all begins with Aaron Rodgers, but they've really involved the tight ends a lot more this year.
I think they're much, much more balanced on the offensive side of the ball. It's just that we're a little bit behind, like I said earlier, because of the preseason. But they're running screens. They're running the football. We have a commitment. It's one thing to just say we want to run the football, but we have a commitment to running the football. And we have some really dynamic running backs with Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. How about that young man? You know, mom and dad been in the military 29, yep. 30 years. And he's fast and he's good and he's a great young man. One thing about the Packers, they have some good people in the locker room. And I think that's because of the leadership and the type of organization we have. You know, you have to, you can't have guys going to Milwaukee or Appleton that's going to go into a bar and just start throwing drinks in people's faces.
Yeah.
It's not, we want to win, but we want to win the right way. And some organizations, they're all about, let's win. Let's win, right. Let's win, baby.
Doesn't matter who you bring in, just right. we'll just try to get a W. And the Packers seem to be bringing in guys, we'll say, of a character.
Yes, I would say character.
Maybe the best way to put it.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of the guys we've had on the program, they don't do much. They don't go out. They just kind of hang at the house and dogs and video games and some music, and that's about the extent of it. And the rest of the time, they're just kind of gym rats. They live at the facility. Talk about when you were a player and you get off to a fast start. You start to really kind of feel yourself and start to feel good about the team, and then injuries start to devastate you. And you talked about the next man up mentality. But is there ever a point that you look around and you go, man, I don't know how today we're going to do it because we got so many of our stars that are down. I just went through the wide receiving core. The wide receiving core is decimated right now by injuries. So at what point, or do you ever, or do you come in and say, in the old adage is just do your job?
Well, just do your job. Yep, just do your job. But a guy is a backup for a reason. You know, you really want to have your starters out there on the field. And we had that situation in 1996 when Robert Brooks got hurt. I think we brought in Andre Rison, and I think Antonio Freeman lost some time as well. But we know that injuries is a part of the game, and what we try to do is do everything in our ability to keep those from happening. And I think to try to keep injuries from setting in or affecting your team, you have to be in very, very good shape. You have to work out, and you have to take care of yourself and get your rest. And the Green Bay Packers have everything that one would need at their stadium. They have a massage therapist. They have doctors. They have cold tubs, hot tubs. They have everything there. So they have a chef on hand 24 hours if you need that. So all the things that you need to be the best football player you can be is over at 1265 Lombardi. And I think the guys are really buying into it, and they're utilizing those resources that has been available for them.
One of the things, as you sit here and go through this laundry list of injuries, you don't see, because we talk about, fans want to talk, blow a trainer out. You get a lot of injuries, got to get rid of the training staff. You know, it's always the trainer's fault. You're seeing toes, concussions, chest. You only see one hamstring. You know what I'm saying? You got quite a few knee injuries where guys have been rolled up on. Only one groin, that's Kevin King. But it's ankles and shoulders and stuff like that. You're not seeing the core.
Soft tissue.
Yes,
soft
but you're not seeing the core injuries. You're not seeing obliques and groins and hammies. And you know what I mean?
Right.
So this, as much as you can say this stinks, it's a testament to them changing methodology this year when they went to a different kind of training staff and a training regimen, so to speak, because you're not seeing all the hamstrings and groins.
Right, because we've had guys in the past, you remember Randall Cobb missing multiple games with hamstring injuries. So soft tissue injuries was an injury that really affected our team. And I really believe it gave us a chance to not win games because we didn't have our best guys out there on the field. But things have changed. I think the different coaches they have, the different meal plans that they have in place, I think the guys are very they're more flexible. I think they're more rested. I think they're more willing to go out there and do what they have to do to win the ball game and get that rest.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Come back. Final segment coming up. We're broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. George Kuntz alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We have got more right after this.
A hotel brought to you by Kohler Company.
Welcome back. It's the Lodge Kohler kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels. We are broadcasting live here in Green Bay, Lodge Kohler, across the street from Lambeau Field. George Kuntz tonight, our special guest, former Green Bay Packer. Now on the Packers Board of Directors, don't forget about the Green Bay Legends Cruise, a terrific roster. Kenny Clark, Paul Kaufman, Oren Burks, Tony Fisher, James Lofton is going to be there, Amon Green, and George Kuntz if you want to take a cruise. And you can go to greenbaylegendscruise.com to check it all out. That's greenbaylegendscruise.com. There's a 4-night and a 5-day cruise going to the Bahamas, and they're all inviting you to join them. So, again, check it out at greenbaylegendscruise.com. We are brought to you by Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, Under Warmer, Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management. And don't forget, you can find us over on all the social media platforms as well, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and when you're a face in the crowd, they sign you up. You can win some autographed items here each week as well. Next week, Adrian Amos is going to be here, safety for the Green Bay Packers. He'll be joining us for the second time this season. Looking forward to talking to him and hopefully about a Packers victory and getting ready to head off to Kansas City. As we get ready to kind of wrap things up here, we got about 4 or 5 minutes, but I wanted to ask you, you know, we were just sitting here talking about, man, from the days that you played, and you're talking about strength and conditioning and GPS and sleep and monitors and that, you know, it wasn't like that back then. It was just like, you know, go do your thing and get back on time and be in bed check. Their monitoring was just bed check. They weren't monitoring your GPS and everything.
Right. And your body fat levels and things like that. The science of the sport has really truly has exceeded anything that I thought I would see in football. But I would have loved it if I was playing, because I thought I was a pro's pro. I really enjoyed the practice part, the working out part. So I would have really got into the eating healthy. I try to eat healthy now, but I would have really loved the cold tubs, hot tubs, everything that they provide for the players. I would have tried to take advantage of it.
I know. Were they doing cold tubs back when you were playing?
It was cold tubs, but it wasn't mandatory, and was an old silver rusted out tank over in the corner that we would be standing in line to get into.
You'd have who was Red Batty or
Red Batty was the was our
was he out there with buckets of ice dumping the ice? Oh man,
they had the big trash cans as well that they put ice in and we'll sit in that. A guy that came to the Packers in 1982, a guy named Robert Brown, kind of started that tradition of us sitting in cold tubs of water to kind of trying to get you re-energized with your legs, and it really truly worked.
It does. I've always, because people say, well, how do you do that? You just got to get in. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't ease into that. You know, you just got to get in, and then by the time you're in there, you go numb after a while, and then by the time you get out, oh my God, it's like being rejuvenated. Every joint in your body is, the swelling's gone down. You feel good, and suddenly you feel like you're 5 years younger, man. It's awesome.
Right, because if you put an ice pack on every area of your bottom half of your body, you have probably 50 ice packs all over you. So the best thing to do is just sit in a tub of ice water.
Yeah.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Right, yeah. It was it's rejuvenating, but that's breathtaking when you it takes your breath away when you go to sit down in there and you ease in. This game coming up this weekend, we talked about the matchup with the Oakland Raiders. Let's just say the Packers do get past the Raiders, sitting at 6-1. The two games that I had circled this season, I said, look, you win in Dallas and you win in Kansas City. Those are big wins. If they would win in Kansas City but without Patrick Mahomes, does that diminish the win in any way, shape, or form? Do you look at that as still the same litmus test, or you just say, look, you can only play who's in front of you, and sometime and timing is everything?
Right, and I think that's just part of the game, because, you know, we went to Dallas without one of our best players. I'm not saying Devontae Adams is
he's considered one of the top five in the league.
He's one of the top players. So we went into Dallas not fully loaded, and we came away with the win. So it's all about timing. If we were to go out to Kansas City and beat Kansas City without their Patrick Mahomes, kudos to the Packers, because you got to play who comes out of their tunnel and out of their locker room.
How big of a turnaround? Because when you look at all the coaches that became new coaches this year, I mean, by far the best right now is Matt LaFleur. Did you expect this kind of a turnaround? I don't think any of us really thought they'd be sitting at 5-1. I thought maybe, you know, 3-2. You know, we kind of picked them 8, 9, possibly 10 wins on the season, but I don't think anybody suspected this, especially with a team that's not even firing on all cylinders just yet.
Right. I didn't think they would be at 5-1, but I thought they would be a very, very good team, because I truly believe, you look at track record, you look at the general manager we have. Ron Wolf trained some unbelievable guys. He has some unbelievable lieutenants. You look at Reggie McKenzie, who basically built the Oakland Raiders. He drafted Carr and Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. You look at John Dorsey and what he put together in Cleveland. They're loaded for his talent, but, you know, for the coaching, that has to catch up.
Right.
John Schneider, what they're doing out there in Seattle. You know, you look at Russell Wilson. He is probably going to go down. The season ended today. He will be the MVP, highest paid person in the National Football League. So I'm saying all that to say, we have a guy that's making moves for us as well, and that's Gudikins.
The other thing that you know people tend to forget is Dorsey was a part of that team when they were building the Kansas City Chiefs, too, before he went to Cleveland.
Yes, he was.
There's another thumbprint of success
right.
for what he's been able to accomplish.
And Scott McLuhan used to be out there in the 49ers when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach out
right.
there. They had an unbelievable team. That's when Kaepernick was the quarterback,
right.
and they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Ravens.
Yeah.
But Scott McLuhan was the one that was putting all the pieces together. So
yeah.
Ron Wolf trained some unbelievable guys to find talent and sign talent, and we have one here in Green Bay.
Good to talk to you, man. It's been fun.
Good.
Enjoyed yourself?
Let's do it again.
Let's do it again. There you go. Thanks to our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, Under Warmer, Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, also Green Bay Legends Cruise and Lammy Sports. He's George Koontz. I'm Bill Michaels. Time for us to go. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.